Hello, and welcome to the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast, where each episode we share actionable strategies for amping up your real estate marketing game. And now, here's your host, Dave Cole.
And we welcome you into this edition. My name is Dave Cole, joined as always by social media whiz Scott Winteroth.
Hey, Dave, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just great. Wanted to pick up for our topic today on a couple of things that have come up in the last couple of editions. And I know, obviously, we talk a lot about all these marketing strategies and all that there is to do. And we've had a couple of folks responding to our podcast, and glad everybody's enjoying it, but saying, hey, where are we supposed to get the time to do all this? And that is our topic for today. There are ways that are less complex than you think to make some additional time to be able to do those things. And so it's just a matter of not everybody likes to do the administrative side. So what we're going to do is help find you some things that you can either outsource or delegate or just kind of, you know, move over to the side, because it's just like you would rather be out selling your properties and getting your buyers and doing your deals than you would to be, writing the checks and doing the accounts receivable and the accounts payable for the week or for the month. And so we're looking at it that doing your marketing, doing the things it takes to gain some additional business, keep and grow your client base are just as important. So that's kind of where we're coming from this morning. And that's also, we did talk about, Scott, that earlier on there are even some services. If you don't have a social media expert that does this for you and you're doing it yourself based on the tips that we give you in these podcasts, that you can there are even some services where you can schedule your posts on social media. So you could be sitting there at 10 o'clock at night and schedule 4 posts for the next afternoon or whatever the case might be. So again, some things to keep in mind, and that, your weekly or your monthly plan could be done as a few minutes each day. So I know, Scott, that's something that you talk about on occasion.
Oh yeah. If you don't control your schedule will control you, so ultimately it takes a little bit of time, and you can pre-do things, you can make templates, and you can do a lot of great stuff to sort of help maximize your time and minimize your overhead, if you will.
All right. Speaking of maximizing your time, let's get right to it. We actually brought in a business and executive coach, Jason Rosado, who, he's got over 25 years of experience with business growth, staff, leadership, organizational development, has worked with actually quite a few in the real estate side of things just to help streamline their business. And this is actually what he does. So, Jason Rosado, welcome to our podcast.
Hey, thank you, Dave. It's great to be here.
All right. Good to have you. I know one of the things that we were talking about, actually, let's just pick up. I was saying about how it may be that, the accounting is a drag. Other people enjoy doing the bookkeeping. So I think that's part of your first major point for being able to streamline your business is to, if you don't already know, kind of determine, what it is that you want to, do or what you like the most. And what you don't like as far as running your overall business. And that, I know, Jason, you always talk about how you feel that should be the first step.
Yes, absolutely. One thing I see over and over, especially with people in the real estate industry, is that they're really, really busy. There is so much to do, so much to get done, as you know. Clients to work with, deals to seek out. You have to work with the attorney, the mortgage people, banks, clients, partners, different. I mean, there's, contractor, it depends on what you're doing, but there are so many different pieces to the puzzle that people just really can feel overwhelmed. They can kind of get lost in their own way. And if they don't have really good systems set up, it can be very difficult to do what they do. So when I work with my clients, one of the first things we do is identify what it is that of all these different things that they could be doing in their business, what is it that they're really passionate about? Because if you're not following the, you know, where your passion is and what jazzes you up and gets you excited, all the other stuff can really drag you down and make things harder. So I totally think it's really important. And I bet Scott probably agrees with that, especially with the social media, being that that's something that you love doing. Is that right?
Absolutely. If you don't have the passion to do it, it will not happen, because ultimately social media and digital marketing and blogging in general are things that don't always provide an immediate return on investment. So if you don't find your why or find your passion, then it's easy to not want to do it, especially after you write one or two posts and nothing positive happens immediately. But if you keep at it, great things will happen.
That's a great point. And I was actually working with a client a few weeks ago who was having this new thing. She was new to social media and email marketing and things like that. And, you know, I was saying, like, well, keep posting, because she was really getting down. Like you said, she would post something on Facebook, post something on Instagram. And she wasn't getting much traction. She was actually heading up a workshop. She was trying to get attendees there. And I just told her, keep posting, keep doing. If this is something you love doing, because this was something that she loved doing, but she was getting down on herself because she's like, well, people aren't liking it, aren't sharing it. I said, trust me, they're seeing it. Just keep going. If, you know, it counts. It's like depositing money into the bank. Every time you put up a post, every time you do it, it counts. So it's the same thing, like wherever your enthusiasm is, wherever your excitement is on those things, just keep doing them, because they build on themselves. Even if it doesn't seem like much is happening, and you want to find the right balance between checking in measurements of what's working and what's not. But sometimes, especially when you're starting up in the beginning, you really need to trust that you just have to keep doing it, because you're also going to get better at it and better at it the more you do it. Mm-hmm. And you will eventually start seeing those results. So yeah, I'm with you 100%.
And of course, if you keep doing it forever and nothing happens, then obviously it's an opportunity to sort of maybe make a decision on a pivot. And then ultimately, you won't get to that point. You won't have that quote unquote failure until you're at it for a while. So you got to schedule it and just got to do it. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dave, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. It's a lot of it is persistence. And I guess to carry it in as an analogy, it's if somebody tells you, well, I don't know if I'm ready to sell for another maybe year or 2 years. So you as an agent, you say, oh, this person's not interested, or do you say, okay, it goes in your calendar as that 6 month follow up or 3 month follow up or 8 month follow up, or you know your system based on what's worked for you in the past as an agent, and how you would handle that. And so I think that to combine what Jason and Scott are saying, that's a way to think regarding the, you know, all these different elements, whether you want to do them or not. And the ones you don't want to do, that's when you look at delegating or hiring or doing it, you know, in the middle of the night when you have a chance or whatever the case might be. And let's also mention that Jason does have a lot of good information on the website, distinctivecoaching.com. So that's very easy to remember. And Jason, I'm sure you had some, you know, to get something like this started that's very much a needed service. And you've been doing this since 06. So in a way, to communicate this, this is obviously something that you went through in needing to get the word out for a very much needed service.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, again, when I'm working with my clients and helping them through this process, and you know what I recommend everybody who's listening does, sort of, it's a three-step process. And we mentioned the first step, which is know where your passions lie. So again, what it is that jazzes you up, gets you excited, keeps you focused, keeps the momentum going, keeps your energy level up. And then, you know, to your point, the second part is you really do have to determine what your success activities are. So what are the things that you do the best that get you the most results? And the way I like to look at this, and what I had to go through myself, is to look at the 80-20 rule. And, you know, as many people know, but not, it's funny when I talk about this, Because I've heard about this for a really long time, but not everybody has heard about it. So I'll explain it real briefly. The 80-20 rule dictates that 80% of your actions get you 20% of your results. So we're doing a lot of things, you know, kind of spinning our wheels. And then the flip side is true as well, that 20% of our actions actually get us 80% of our results. So when you combine those first two things, you know, knowing where your passion is with knowing what your 20%, I like to call it the genius zone, what your 20% genius zone is. When you combine those, now you're really focusing in on doing the things that you love doing and the things that get you the best results. So again, if you love doing the marketing side of it, you know, Dave, as you know this, then that's what you want to focus on and do that and do it well and get better at it. But if there's another way I like to put it, your cake and your cringe, right? So your cake is the stuff you love doing. Your cringe is the stuff you hate doing. So if you know, doing the marketing, if blogging, if going out and networking, if doing public speaking, if building your team, you know, and getting brokers under you or getting staff and administrative people under you, whatever it is, and building that organization, if any of that is your cake, then you want to do it. You want to delegate it to yourself. You want to figure out how you work this in and what your job is as the leader in your business. So oftentimes I'll work with my clients to help them create their own job description because they really even thought about it in those terms. And what often happens is when I start working with a client, especially somebody who's in the industry, they are the owner of their business. They are the manager, so they're running all the employees or the brokers under them. And they're also a producer and often the top producer because they've been doing it the longest. That's why they decided to open up their own shop. So they actually have three full-time jobs. And it's really hard to succeed that way. So we help break it down and say, okay, you know, what I recommend doing is creating your own job description. Give it the title that speaks, you know, volumes to you and just like really makes you excited. And then put in there your cake. What is it that you love doing, you want to focus on each day? And create your own job description. Then figure out what else needs to be done and delegate that. Figure out, okay, so there's somebody else who can do this other stuff cheaper, better, and faster than I can do it because it's not part of my 20% activity that gets me 80% of my results. So I mean, but it is part of somebody else's 20%, somebody else who's really good at it and really loves it, and they're going to do a phenomenal job for me. So I want to make sure to delegate. So that's sort of the third point, is to delegate the rest. Whatever it is that doesn't jazz you up, get you, you know, your return on investment and your return on time to delegate that stuff and have somebody else do it. And this is the way that, you know, when I work with my clients and we kind of go from this framework, they usually do end up doubling or tripling their business inside of a year. So it's really about focus, passion, being strategic, and working on the things that you love doing. So, you know, what have you guys seen in terms of that sort of thing with your clients?
Yeah, Jason, this is Dave. I know we've got three voices, including our special guest, Jason Rosato with DistinctiveCoaching.com. Jason, just to pick up on your point a little bit, and yeah, I mean, I've seen that, I guess to first answer your question, I've seen that, you know, you're exactly right on. I mean, even in, you know, my part from the marketing side, as my involvement in real estate, that I've always enjoyed writing. And so for me, helping, you know, an agent with his or her blog, and Scott, I know, helping a lot with, you know, social media content and coming up with some content and things to post, these are things that we enjoy. But I think one more point, Jason, that because I've seen you in action, to bring up is that this information, this can apply whether you've been an agent for 2 weeks or for 20 years. And I can vouch for that just from the feedback we get from this podcast, that we've had everything from, yeah, I've been doing this for 25 years and I listen because I may pick up one or two things out of all this information, And we've also had, boy, I've only been at this for 3 or 4 months. I can't stop. You know, I need to stop the recording to take notes through every inch of, you know, every minute of your podcast because there's so much information and all points in between. And so I know from, as I say, watching you in action, Jason, that this is not something where you have to have been in business 5 years and know what's going on and where you need the help to be able to do this. This is at any point in operating your business.
Yeah, it really is. And same thing, I've had clients who have been in business for several years, sometimes even up to like 10 or 15 years, where, and sort of where this comes to is because, as we know, the markets change. And so you do have to constantly take a look at what you're doing, what's getting you the best return on your investment and your time, and refocus. Because as conditions change, you have to adapt. So absolutely, yeah, I can see why people would, you know, keep listening to, keep tuning in, keep listening, keep taking notes and learning, because that's a big part of it too.
I mean, Jason,
right?
Jason, you know, the other thing I wanted to mention too is that talking about market changes. I mean, have you ever, do you think people's cake can change, if you will, over the years? I mean, is that something that,
Yes, I'm laughing so much because, yeah, absolutely. And I've experienced that and kind of recently. Mm-hmm. Yes, real quick, I'll tell you a funny story. What happened, mm-hmm. So I've been coaching and working for myself and, you know, helping business owners for 12 years. For the first 10 years, I was doing a lot of sales and marketing coaching and a little bit of leadership, executive time management, and organizational development coaching. And that was working. That was my 80% was like the sales and marketing mm-hmm. coaching, and the 20%, you know, was the other stuff. And come up about 2 years ago, my business hit rock bottom. I couldn't seem to get any more clients. I had worked with some of the world's best coaches in the past where we coached each other. These are like internationally known, high level coaches. And we had coached each other. We always loved it. It was great. And I noticed that I was in this funk. I couldn't pick up new clients. The stuff I was teaching my clients and was working for them wasn't working for me. So I reached out to some of these coaches who I'd worked with in the past and we'd helped each other and hired them, cause I knew that I needed some help. And I always say it's great to get a coach. Coaches should have coaches. Like, everybody should have coaches mm-hmm. if you want to be successful, because there are always things in your business that you could be doing better or blind spots that you can't see that somebody else can help point out for you. And this one time is kind of an exception to that rule because I hired these coaches to help me and they couldn't. And I was floored. And I wasn't sure what to do. And I was thinking, geez, you know, like the results that my clients get, helping them to double their business quickly, helping them to cut their work hours, helping them to cut their stress. These are the kinds of results I need. I need somebody who can do what I do. And how come? Well, because these guys were really focused on marketing and sales, and they were just trying to help me reinvent what I had already known and already done, and it wasn't working. I really needed somebody to help me see that I needed to go in a fresh direction because my cake had changed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what I ended up doing, ironically, was putting myself through one of my own programs. mm-hmm. And that worked because one of my programs does help you see exactly what the things are that you love doing and what you should be focusing on. And I realized that my cake had changed, and I really missed helping who had been the 20% of my clients before, the people who needed more help with leadership and creating awesome employees, you know, and amping up their organization and their staff. That's really where my cake had kind of turned to. So that's why where I focus my marketing activities now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I love doing that. So doing things like blogging, emails, speaking, networking, you know, speaking with you guys, this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's really fun. And so 100% yes to answer your question. Your cake can change, and it's a great idea to keep working with your team, whether that's a coach or a mentor or social media experts, marketing experts, whoever's supporting you. Work with them and keep the lines of communication open and keep track of, you know, where your passions lie, and just kind of trust your gut and follow your inspirations, even if they're start straying off of where they normally had been. Because maybe you're going through a change yourself, and that's going to keep your business fresh, keep your business alive, and keep you in the game, you know, and keep growing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, great advice. Great advice. Thank you for sharing that. Dave?
Yeah, thank you indeed, Jason. I'll tell you, it brought to mind a story at my end, and this is, it kind of combines what all of us do, and it's for strategy, and it's the something that I talk about as well, is when you're out and about and, you know, looking for business, talking to clients, especially potential clients, about the need to listen, and even if it's something that you don't have to respond to be taking those mental or if possible even physical notes. And it could be the slightest thing that somebody says. And one example, this is actually not real estate related, but it easily could have been, a very good and close friend of mine was in a kind of, we'll say, like a high leverage business situation. He was involved with a presentation for a very high cost product and was with one of the executives and in her office. And she happened to quote some information while making kind of the opening small talk, as it were, that she had seen an article and it was about either some type of place or some type of business or something in a magazine. It was like Vanity Fair or some a woman's magazine. And my friend knew to make a note of that. And what he did was he actually went to the library later that day, found that issue with a magazine and read that article and others surrounding it because he wanted to have an idea of what type of input is this executive getting so that maybe he could come up and turn his approach of his presentation and his follow-up in that direction to appeal to her. So it is things like, and I never would have thought of that, and that's a great idea, and that's why we would share things like that. So it wasn't that, you know, we both have to start reading, you know, magazines that have nothing to do with us. It was the idea of thinking about that. This was the type of information that we shared, and that just sounds like something that would fit in that, you know, maybe not to go to that extent, but there's a point to be made because, obviously, those of you that are joining us today, it's, you know, you're in high leverage situations where you're talking about $500,000 or $1 million or a lot of someone's money and time and their interests. So there are some things like that. I guess that's kind of a little bit of strange coaching advice. But if you want to think about that, Jason, in terms of running a business to, I guess you put it in the category of knowing what you don't know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's huge too. And you know, that goes back to why it's important to surround yourself with a good team, because we're not going to know everything. We're not going to know everything and we're not going to have time to do everything. So it is important to surround ourselves with the people who can supplement and complement those things, you know, where we want to focus, and then have those people who can focus on the other stuff and keep abreast. So yeah, I totally agree with that too.
Right. And that ties in with Scott, because a lot of what you do, especially on the real estate side, is you're part of the team. You're not always brought in to say, okay, here, give me copy for the blog, do the social media, and I just have, you know, nothing to do with it other than taking in leads. You can just do part of what's needed to be done. So I know the team concept is very big with what you do, Scott.
Mm-hmm. You know, I always try to think and try to explain to people that you have to be two steps ahead as much as you can, whatever that means. And sometimes you are, sometimes you're not. And a lot of times it's just a matter of, you have to be in the middle of it and you have to have really great people supporting you along that way. Because while you might be chugging along doing what you're doing and seeing the world in your way, when you have, you know, your entire team, and whether it's, you know, your assistant, or whether it's your boss, or whether it's a consultant, you know, those people help you become two steps ahead by giving you insight into their perception or their aspect of the business, but also stuff that you don't want to miss, or stuff that you don't want to skip, or stuff like that. Or you don't want to miss an appointment. Like, that missing an appointment obviously would be a huge thing, you know? So you got to be on top and hopefully two steps ahead, if you can, you know.
Right. Yeah. I, that's a great point. And so, you know, I'm so glad you mentioned that. Mm-hmm. One of my clients who was the owner of her brokerage, she, same thing, just incredible realtor, incredible investor, strategist, not so good with keeping up with these little details, like administrative stuff. And so it was really important. One of the things we worked on with her was getting the right two people. She had one full-time and one part-time administrative assistants into her business, because she just, you know, it's not everybody's good at everything, and mm-hmm. you can't let that stuff fall through the cracks. And, you know, being able to do that really turned her business around. Having somebody who was really good with that, really detail oriented, could think of these little things outside of the main scope of the business. You know, working with clients, like client appreciation, customer service, just being on point with everything makes a huge, huge difference. And it's not always easy to find those people. So you do want to make sure, if you don't know how to hire somebody well, or, you know, how to build your team to work with somebody, you know, this is one of the things I help my clients with all the time, mm-hmm. is being sure they have the right people supporting them so that they can be their best and they can shine, you know, and really take the business far. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting too, Jason, with regard to that is, I know with real estate teams, oftentimes it's husband and wife. I know of some brother and sister yeah. team, but there are some real estate teams where it is two women, two men, a man and woman who are not married. They're not related. It's because of what they do. It might be one is a buyer specialist, one is a seller specialist, so they team up to go under the same roof, and that there are reasons for partnerships. And I'm just wondering, in your experience, especially on the real estate side, Jason, if you've had either recommendations or strategies in that regard, where it might not be, okay, here's who you need to hire. It might be, hey, what about a partnership? I wonder if that comes into the equation, because I'm sure yeah. that, again, some of the agents and brokers that are experiencing our podcast might be thinking along those lines.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, in real estate and in other industries, small businesses all the time think to themselves, you know, so should I bring on a partner? Should I look to team up with somebody? And partners can be a huge support in a lot of areas. They can cover areas that maybe you don't specialize in. They can bring in revenue, or they can bring in equity. There are a lot of good reasons. And also, it's important to remember that a partnership is a marriage, and it's something that is going to change your life forever. But, you know, hopefully the business does really well, and it's a long-term one, and it's stable, and it's very fruitful for everybody. But regardless, if the business doesn't do well, I mean, no matter what it does, by bringing in a partnership, you are going to be changing your life forever, because of the sort of ripple effects that has. I think that's a whole separate conversation.
But, yeah, I was just thinking that too. Yeah, we're going to have you back and do that. So, yeah.
But it's a good one. It's a good one. But, you know, one resource that I have, and thank you again for mentioning my website, distinctivecoaching.com. There is another resource as well that people might find helpful, and that's a downloadable document. It's at a website called 5X, so the number 5, the letter X, 5xyoureffectiveness.com. And this, it really goes into the 80-20 rule and helps you kind of walk through what are the aspects that you should be focusing on, and what is it that other people should be focusing on, and all the different aspects that you need to take into account. And when you do this, in terms of partnership, you can really see, okay, so what is it that I'm going to be focusing on? How will I be running my business? And then that can help you see if it does make sense or not to bring on a partnership. There's still a lot of other things you need to take into account. And I would highly recommend, if somebody's considering a partnership, to talk to a mentor or a coach, talk to an attorney, talk to an accountant, and make a really informed decision about it. Because it's not something that you just kind of go into. And it's easy to see, you know, the sort of the rose-colored glasses of, oh, this is going to help free up my time. This is going to bring in additional money and resources. But there's also a lot at stake. And sometimes you can achieve the same results as a partnership without actually creating a partnership. Again, it's just, are you great at delegating and knowing what it is that you want to focus on, what you want other people to focus on? You know, sometimes there are even grants out there that you can get, in for-profit grants. You know, you can get angel investors or capital venturists to come in. I mean, there are a lot of different ways. So that's one, and it can be a good one, but it's not something you want to jump into, you know, without really, really going through a process to figure out if that's the right thing for you or not.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think we've got some more topics, and Jason, we'll definitely have you back in the future. We do want to thank you again. That's Jason Rosato at distinctivecoaching.com for his expertise today. Scott, we thank you as always, and that's going to do it for this edition. I'm Dave Cole, and that's it for this edition.
All right, Dave, that sounds great. Listen, that's another episode of the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast with Dave Cole. Be sure to head on over to our website at davecole.com to learn more about our past episodes and to learn more about marketing for real estate in various aspects. Please subscribe to our podcast on Apple, iTunes, or Google Play, or any podcatcher service of your choice. And if you like what you're hearing and you think you've got some, if you think we've got some good ideas for you, please leave a rating on the podcast. That really helps us reach new people, and we really appreciate it. That's a wrap for this week. Bye for now.